Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode. I am super stoked for this one. This is episode 10, which marks 10 weeks of nonstop podcasting, and it has been absolutely insane being able to sit down and talk with such cool people in the wedding photography world. And it's been so cool getting to know you guys too through Instagram or email and just like hearing what you guys think and shooting the ideas and stuff. It's been really fun. So I'm stoked you guys are here. When I first started this, I was thinking, you know, the kind of podcasts I like are the long form podcasts, the podcasts that get lost in the weeds where it's just a conversation and then, you know, we see where it heads. Those are usually the types of podcasts or episodes that I seem to like a lot and I'm drawn to. And so that's what I'm trying to attempt to do here is to provide you guys with just conversations between photographers and see where it goes and getting lost in the weeds. Because I feel like I learned a ton that way. And so this episode is with Danielle Honier. She is a wedding photographer based out of the Central Coast of California and is one of my favorites. She's great. She's producing amazing stuff. And yeah, I really enjoyed this conversation with her. And so I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you guys want to get in contact with her, I've dropped her links down below. So make sure you do that. And if you, again, if you have any questions for me or ideas, as always, head over to my Instagram and let me know. So enjoy the episode. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you guys did military.
Yep.
And both of you guys are retired.
Yep.
Dang, that's sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Yeah. He was working with missiles and I was working with launching rockets here at Vandenberg. So wow. Yeah. And I was doing wedding photography for the last 10 years of being in the military. And so it's funny after being retired and then especially with this slow season of Rona season, I'm like, how did I do two like full-time jobs, you know, but you make it work.
Yeah. What drew you to the military?
What's that?
What drew you to the military?
Actually my stepfather he was a recruiter. And so he's like, I think this would be really good for you. And it was literally the best thing for me because I'm a creative and kind of, you know, not so structured as a creative. And so he thought the military would be really good for me. And it was, and I got to travel. I was in Europe for 5 years, went to Alaska, California, Colorado. So it just broadened my kind of world of, you know.
Right on. And so, I mean, those are two pretty polar sort of career paths, like launching missiles and stuff like that. And then wedding photography. So what brought you and what gave you the idea of getting into wedding photography?
Actually, it's kind of like a lot of people say, I didn't really plan to get into wedding photography. I was doing family sessions and a military buddy of mine that I worked with was like, oh, I have a friend who does photography. You should connect with her. She's in San Ynez. And so she was doing weddings and asked me to second shoot with her. And I was like, okay. And I couldn't look back. The weddings are super fun. They're like high, you know, intensity. It's a fun event. So that was it. I got the taste of weddings and I was hooked. So I kind of slowly went into it because I didn't instantly, you know, do solely weddings, but now I primarily just do weddings. And oddly enough, now I'm looking to do more, you know, because of the season of the virus, I'm kind of incorporating more portraiture work, but I love to do weddings. That's my bread and butter.
Right on. So when or how long have you been doing wedding photography for?
For wedding photography for 10 years, but photography in general for 12, because I started right after we got married.
Yeah. Nice. And so you do film also, right?
Yeah.
Do you shoot digital and film?
Yep. Yeah, I shoot both. Film is awesome because it really slows you down. With digital, you just have this quicker, faster kind of, ability, which is good and which is a perk. But film, what I noticed, one, monetarily, it's not a cheap medium. So you slow down, you're more cognizant before you're hitting the shutter because you know this is $2 for a frame. But it also is super, it kind of opens your eyes to be a lot more creative, because I went from focusing auto with all of my digital to manually focusing. And once you're manually focusing, you start looking at things differently. So you're not kind of trapped to the dots on a digital. And it's just a really neat medium. It's a 80 millimeter Zeiss, so you have a different perspective. You have to kind of be a little bit more creative too. And then the images are just, it makes I'm like, this makes people even look better. You know, it's just got this soft, dewy feel to it. So yeah,
totally. I only shoot digital. I learned on film, and then, you know, 2010, I guess, is when I got into wedding photography. And so the Canon 5D Mark II was out, and it was like digital was really taken off. And so, so I got that, you know, and I was second shooting with that and stuff, and just always stuck with digital. It wasn't until about 5 years ago where I started to actually see film started to make a major comeback. Like, not just, you know, you have the Jose Villas who's always done it, but like lots of people are even incorporating it as, you know, part of their, you know, package, what they're offering to couples. Did you, how did you get into film like itself? Was that something that you saw that you thought was pretty and you were like, I want to do that? And so you just like researched on your own how to use a film camera, I guess, because they're pretty different.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people say this, I kept being drawn to a certain aesthetic, and I was like, it's film. So I was just like, I'm going to try it. And it's funny now. So with digital, there's so many like, presets that you can use now that, mirror film, and it is neat. It's neat now that you can keep your digital and film cohesive. But with film, there's just something like, I don't know, magical about it. But anyway, so I rented a camera from contactsrental.com, and I got it, and it was just like nostalgic, because I also did film like in a class back in the day, and it was in the dark room, and it was a neat process, but it super slowed you down. So I rented one, I did a couple sessions, and I was like, it's a lot easier than I anticipated. So once you get the results of these awesome epic images, you're kind of hooked. You're kind of hooked. So I rented a camera, and then I bought it like probably 6 months or less than 6 months later. Like,
wow.
Like, yep, this is for me.
So these are, I mean, for people listening who are getting into photography for the first time and all they know is digital, these are like, you're talking like medium formats type cameras, right? Can you explain like simply what the heck a medium format camera is, and how is it different from like a, I don't know, what kind of camera body do you shoot digitally?
I have a Contax 645. I know probably a minimal amount to elaborate on a medium, but I mean, it's a 120 film stock. It's a larger kind of frame than a 35 millimeter, but I'm pretty simplistic on what I do know, because I was self-taught, and I also followed Jose and other photographers, and so I just kind of mimicked what they did. Which is nice too, though, if you do stick to one camera body and one lens, you learn the ins and outs of it. So, but the negatives are a larger, frame, like I said, than the 35 millimeter.
Yeah. That's interesting. So there are like differences. I've looked at some of these medium format cameras, and I'm like, I must be searching the wrong thing. I this can't be right. They're like $10,000 or something for one of them.
Well, okay. So like the Contax did spike up to like 4,500 when it was like super, super popular. And like I said, these presets came out, and then they like are slowly starting to dwindle. When I bought it, mine was like 22 for the Contax. And then the sister camera for wanting to get into film, I would say is the Pentax. I'm not as familiar with it, but I have some friends that do it. So it's kind of more an affordable medium format camera if you want to get into it. But the competitiveness of the pricing for the contacts is slowly starting to dwindle. It's not as competitive. So it is kind of a, like the Pentax I hear is a little bit more reliable. The contacts is like, you have to love it and make sure to like treat it nicely. It's, it's an older camera and there's not a lot of parts for it. So, and then like in here, I have, a battery, for my film. It's just got a lot of moving parts and it's temperamental, but like I said, the byproduct of getting these beautiful images is worth going through the kind of nuances of what film does. So,
yeah. I think someone said that film can be more forgiving than digital. Yeah. Have you would agree with that?
100%. Yeah.
Really?
So like with my digital, I'll have, if I'm exposing for the subject in the foreground and wanting to keep them, you lose your background. And with film, it's pretty forgiving and it's also light hungry. So if you, I mean, that's where you get those beautiful epic shots of like mountain scenes with the fluffy clouds. You don't lose a lot of information, where in digital you have ability to recover things, but it's just there's just something about film that captures just a little bit nicer than digital. I mean, yeah, you don't lose in the blowouts where you would for digital.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure everybody who's shot digital and then edits their own pictures have experienced that, where they're like, you know, it looks so good on the back of the camera or whatever in your mind. And then you get home and it's like completely blown out and there's just no recovering. I feel like with film too, there is that softer sort of like you're allowed to make mistakes and it's almost like accepted and celebrated when something is a little bit out of focus because it adds to that sort of dreaminess of it, which is like, I don't know why I don't have a film camera. I need to get one or something. Cause
you can totally borrow mine. I actually, right, Ray, you had interviewed her. She asked to borrow my camera and then was same thing, like hooked. She instantly bought one.
Oh, cool.
And so you are more than welcome to borrow mine. I say, if you break it, you buy it, but
yeah, sweet,
totally feel free. Yeah.
Yeah. No problem. That's really cool. Yeah. Thinking about all that, there was something that Jose said that I can't remember what I was going to bring up, but
You were saying the softness of film, the mistakes, like,
yeah. Have your couples are you finding your couples want that? Like they're like, I want Danielle because she shoots film, or is it like they come to you because they see your beautiful pictures and they're like, oh, you shoot film? That's great. Well, do you find both, or?
I would say clients aren't as, I mean, there are some clients that absolutely know, like the reason why I was attracted to images is because I realized that they were film. Well, it's the same thing with clients. They're realizing, oh, I'm innately attracted to this photographer because of the aesthetic and the color and the dreaminess and the softness. So some clients know what they like. They just don't know that it's film. And some of them do, but yeah, it's definitely the look. And like you said, something that, you said earlier about some of the mistakes are just as beautiful with film. I think the other neat thing is that since you're slowing down, you have so many more keepers. You're so much more intentional with your shooting. And so when you do get something back, if it is soft, it's still like, to me, film photography with the contacts looks like an oil painting to me. Like it has this look that is like no other. So I think that's something that people gravitate, and it's kind of a standalone, and you have a lot more keepers. I mean, you have 16 frames per roll, but you're like keeping them.
Huh. This is a basic question, but I'm sure there's people who are interested. How much is, so you've mentioned how much the camera could be. How about, like you said, there's 16 frames per roll.
Yeah.
How much is a roll?
$42. Oh, for a roll, for a box, yeah. You get a box of six, I believe.
Okay.
And so, yeah, $42 for the film.
Uh-huh.
And then developing is, you know.
Yeah. So then you have to, okay, you shoot the session. wrap it up. You got your film. I can't even remember the names. Canisters. I don't even know. Like, 'cause Canisters is actually like the developing thing. Whatever, you have your film, and then you mail it off to a developer or a lab or something.
Yep.
And then they develop those negatives, and then they send you those negatives, and then you have to make prints from those negatives.
So what is a perk is that they do scan the negatives for you, and so they're pretty particular about the coloring. So I will say picking a lab is also pretty significant, because they do all of the coloring, like the magenta or whatever, you know, particular style. So there's a lot of emphasis on the lab too, because if you got your negatives back as is, you would have to do some manipulating as well, just because of color cast and stuff. But so once it's sent, they scan it in, they ship you back your negatives. And that's fun too, a little keepsake for sometimes I give them to my clients, unless I've incorporated something where I'm using film, you know, for something else and then whatever. Mm-hmm. They scan that in, and right now it's kind of like, you know, such a digital world that I can just give the film ones on the gallery, incorporate with the digital. But I'm kind of pushing more tangible items, just because, I don't know, with film, I just feel like, again, it's like this heirloom keepsake, just nostalgic neatness about it, instead of this kind of disposable, like quick high of a digital and then like moving on to the next kind of thing. So,
yeah, I mean, that is one of the things also that's drawing me to pursuing film, or at least like incorporating it, exploring it, is the fact that you're slowing down. Because I mean, so often you get to a shoot 2 hours, like, say the game session or something, or even like a wedding day, right? You have like 30 minutes to take the couple out. It's like bam, 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 bam. And then you're like, move. At least for me, I'm like, you know, freak out mode for 30 minutes. And you're like, you're thinking like of every single different pose, so that way you get every single one that you want and you don't leave anything and you make sure they're happy. But with film, it's like you get half of that, probably, maybe even a third. So you're like, okay, very intentional. And so do you communicate that to your couples? Like, do you ever find couples sort of getting uneasy, or like, you know, cause I hear this a lot. I'm sure you do too. Like, couples will say, you know, I'm not good at posing, and so I really like, the natural feel to photos, right? Where people are sort of just moving and doing things. But with film, it's like, you're actually like stopping and posing, and I feel like there's less like, let me follow behind you and just like snap 1,000, right? Because you can.
Right.
So do you ever find like couples sort of getting sort of antsy in the posing with the film camera? And then how do you sort of help them with that?
I would say that's one of the things I get complimented most about from my clients and the feedback that I get. I mean, literally I think 99% of my couples are like, I'm super awkward in front of the camera. I'm like, join the crowd.
Right.
So I'm like an over director. But I like the in-between posing. So I'm like huge on giving feedback of what I like. Like, I can't help but say like how adorable they are, how cute, and like, but I'm also super anal meticulous. So if I see something that's out of place, I have no shame in being like, lift your chin up and relax your shoulder. And so I'm a huge over director where people feel uber comfortable. And it's funny, oddly enough, I've been wanting to challenge myself, because I am such a neurotic about having everything like beautiful and perfect, and making sure like there's nothing in the background, and having this, you know, perfectly curated shot, even in the craziness of a wedding day. I've been trying to challenge myself to get more of like the photojournalistic feels. And so I'm also slowing down, but I can't help myself. I have to direct. Like, once you see something in camera, I can't not see, like, I'm just like, this needs to be removed, or they need to, you know, be closer or be relaxed. So, and if you do get in a situation where there is, you know, they're distracted or they're stressed out, and you can tell, cause you can read your clients really well, I do have them move without, you know, the digital, and have that kind of place where they start to get comfortable. And as soon as they get in that sweet spot, then I'm able to bring up the film camera and say, this is the money shot. This is, you know, really, and I haven't had clients feel uncomfortable, because I try to make sure that working with a coordinator on their timeline, I'm like, let's stick to the timeline, because it makes a huge difference not to be rushed. And you're right, though, there's every wedding day has it's like and it's just about diffusing that and making people feel comfortable. So
right on. That's cool. That's interesting. What are three things, you can go more or less if you want to, that you've done in your business that you saw change happen?
I think investing in my website, I definitely need to update the images that I have, but I really like the essence of my website. So I invested in working with a great designer who did my logo. So I know that's, you know, there's more than just your website and your logo by far, but I think I know that I go to businesses and I look at their websites after looking at Instagram typically, but and so I kind of judge people, you know, by that. And so I would expect my clients to do that as well. And so I have, you know, put in that I'm a Christian and that this is like, I cry at every wedding. Like I'm a people person and I'm super open book. And so I think that you kind of attract those, you know, like-minded people. So I think the investing in my website was like huge. And I would say for people who are like first starting off, and there's so many like options for websites now that I'm like, you know, do what you need to do. Don't necessarily need to invest right away when you're first starting off. But I would say that because with social media, there's so many unknowns with like Facebook and Instagram and like monetizing and not being exposed, your website is huge. So when you're sharing or vendors or coordinators are recommending you, they want to be able to have a website that like is standalone. You know, so, and other investments, I mean, I'm just being intentional with my clients. I mean, it's such a sweet, intimate, like personal thing that you're doing with weddings. So I keep in touch with a lot of my brides. I love to know like all their details. I don't know if it's because I'm like a girl, I love beautiful things, but I'm like, can you tell me all the things before the actual wedding? And again, they're like working with a coordinator or everything, but I still am like, ooh, show me like what colors you know, sorry, my dog just rolled in. So right, I was making sure he wasn't making a cameo, but, so just investing in my clients and actually like caring about the nuances of their big day, because the wedding day is huge, but all of the prep beforehand is like, it's a longer period where they're enjoying that time and they're like, you know, and you're investing in the relationship, you're encouraging them about marriage, like how the marriage is super important to end. And just, you know, there's a quote that I heard, like, your marriage is more important than just your wedding day. I'm botching that up, but it basically, like, you know, the longevity and the whole celebration of it. So getting excited about it, not stressing out about things. Like I always say, wedding rules are made to be broken. And I say that a lot at weddings because something can go awry and it's like, just let it go, let it go. So yeah,
right on.
I would say that.
That's super helpful. That's interesting. Yeah. But on the flip side of that same question, have there been any mistakes that you've made in your business or things that you've done where you're just like, that didn't work and that's okay? Cause right, I mean, we're all learning this on our own, or we're all sort of forging it on our own. I certainly have a bunch of things that I'm like, I would never do that again. And I would tell everyone in the world, don't do that. So I'm just curious, is there anything on the flip side of that, that you were like, I did that and it didn't work.
Yeah. I was going to say, give me an example of yours and maybe I can think of mine.
Okay. I can start rattling about those.
Yeah. I think that I have learned recently that relationships in the wedding industry are huge. Mm. And so I'm a very like energetic, enthusiastic person. And I realize that sometimes I can be like a little intense. And so I think that I've come into a lot of relationships like, oh, like excited and wanting to network. And I know that this is kind of like an overused like thought process, but because it's so true that I just resounds with the industry, like networking and relationships are huge. And so I think that I went into some of the relationships and networks like super excited, super hungry, where it came across as like, I want to, you know, what can you do for me kind of mentality. And it never was. It was just, I am super interested in people and I love to like comment and I love to message and I love to like know all the things. And sometimes it comes across as like, are you being like for real? And it is. I'm like, I love your dog. I love you. Like, that's just how I am. And so I've learned that I kind of came in hard and fast. And so now the genuine relationships that have like organically happened, you know, like even say with you, you know, chatting about something that we like, you know, see eye to eye on, or have a common foundation. I realize that those relationships in the industry have stood the test of time and you build this rapport that's like super sweet, super genuine, super intimate. So I would say for people that are like starting off, if you're hungry and you're wanting to connect and you're wanting to bolster up your, you know, relationships in the industry, take time, let it be organic, let it happen naturally. And like a lot of people say, see what you can do for someone, you know, but just be genuine about it. A lot of my really close friends that are in the wedding industry are these awesome, sweet, like do whatever you want, you know, or not do whatever you want, but they do things for you, like don't even think twice about it. And those are the people who I've realized like the genuineness, the sweetness goes really far. So yeah.
So for the person who is brand new, you know, doesn't even have a camera starting next week, should they reach out to people on social media, like wedding vendors or other photographers, and just reach out, or should they wait until they meet them naturally? What would your tips be for that?
I would say building rapport with people in the industry that are on the same level of you is super important too. So yes, reaching out to people who are established, that's awesome. But what I've seen in the industry is like, there's this wave of like epic, awesome people that are like, everyone loves them. And then it changes. And so then you have new epic, awesome people. And so if you're always chasing the like limelight, which is fine, that they have a wealth of knowledge in it and it's awesome, you kind of get your head in the cloud where you're kind of, that's where that whole, like, I don't know if you've heard that, everyone has, but like comparison is the thief of joy. And I'm like, that kind of makes me cringe, because I'm like, celebrate those people who are like taking names, like they're awesome. And don't be so head in the clouds, like wanting to, you know, fit in this particular genre or be accepted or be in this particular bubble, because it ebbs and flows. And there's so many neat young and new photographers that like blow my mind, that it's just a conglomerate of both. Yes, reach out to vendors, absolutely, but just don't get pigeonholed where you're looking at the cream of the crop only, and then being like stuck in this bubble. There's so much out there. So I would say reach out, definitely build a rapport with people, because those people are going to gradually be, and you never know where someone's going to go, and you're not doing it to get something out of it. But I've seen some people like just blow up just because they're not stuck in the wedding industry. This is cool. They're doing their own thing and they're like paving their own way. So hopefully that answered the question.
Yeah, that's super cool. Well, gosh, I mean, thank you so much for answering some of these questions. I think they're very helpful for people who just, you know, love, I personally love just hearing other photographers' stories, and I learn so much just from listening to them talk about everything. And so I really appreciate you spending time to let me pick your brain.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the last, and I'm glad you're doing it, because like I said, I've been listening to some of the interviews and I'm like, oh, this is sweet. This is awesome. So keep it up.
Right on.